Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're continuing our study in the book of Galatians. We're in chapter 3. And we'll be looking here starting at verse 1. Galatians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. I want to read verse 1 and then have a word of prayer, and we'll see how the Lord leads. We'll probably get down to about verse 9 this morning. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? Father, I surely thank you for another opportunity to be able to preach. And Lord, I thank you that you have allowed me to be a pastor. Lord, I pray that you would just give me the words to say and help me with the illustrations, whatever it may be, to help people to understand your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit would work on hearts, and Lord, that you would do a work as only you can. Lord, I know your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, that it could pierce the hardest heart. But Lord, I also know that you give free people free will. And I pray that people would understand, Lord, that heaven is real and so is hell. And Lord, how much you love them and you don't want to see them go to hell. Help us to do our part to try to reach those that are lost and bring them to you. Keep a hedge around us. Keep us safe. Help the young people to learn from their class. And we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you remember, the book of Galatians, as we're in chapter 3, was written to a local churches that was in that area, Galatia. And Paul was writing to them at the beginning. We saw in the first couple chapters, they're pretty much explaining to them about the gospel, what the gospel is, and who gave the gospel. God gave the gospel. And because God gave the gospel, speaking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have salvation in him by placing your faith in him, not by works. The reality is you can have eternal life. And it's a wonderful thing. So what we've seen through these verses, he says, no one has the authority to change the gospel. No man has the authority to change the gospel. No church has the authority to change the gospel. As a matter of fact, no angels have the authority to change the gospel. And anyone that does, they will give you a false gospel and don't listen to it. So what we see here in verse 3, it's kind of like he's now getting to the meat of this book, right? So he kind of set things up. He went through and even explained how he confronted Peter on that matter. And now he tells these Galatians, he says, "O foolish Galatians." The word foolish means unwise, a void of understanding, or sound judgment. So without sound judgment. Here it is. He's saying they were foolish. Why were they foolish? Because they were allowing false teachers to come into their churches and be able to teach and try to influence them and get them to the place where they would look at the gospel and say how it's only by faith in Christ. And they were starting to add to it, keeping the law. And here it is, he calls them foolish, right? He calls them foolish. And he says, who has bewitched you? He asked, you know, this simple question there, but that word bewitched means to deceive. To deceive. Who is it that's deceiving you, tricking you? Who is it that's given this false representation of something that's not true and you believed it? I'm sure these false teachers that came in, and a lot of these false teachers may be very charismatic. You know, they're good at speaking, probably better, way better than me, amen. When I was in school, I hated public speaking, amen. I think I'm better at it today, but I hated public speaking. I hated public speaking even before I got saved. I was in college. Even when I was saved and went back, went to another college for Bible college, I did not like public speaking. And here it is. God called me to preach, and I'm thinking, well, I like the Bible. I like to teach people, But that means I got to get in front of people, right? And I remember in my life, what I tried to do was to get over that fear. Sometimes you'll have fear. And I worked at a place called Citibank. And when I worked at Citibank, they had, I don't know, probably thousands of people that worked there. And what I did was I figured, well, I have to get over this fear. So I would ask, they would have team meetings. So again, when they have team meetings, they would have hundreds of people, right? I don't know, maybe 500 people or more. And what I would ask is, even though I would be shaking and scared with it, I would ask and say, can I be the facilitator of this meeting? Oh, I hated that, John. After a while, I was like, what did I do? You know, but I did it to try to get over the fear, to get up in front of people. And I'm sure the first time I was going, I was like this and stuff, you know, I don't know. So, but anyway, I'm not a fan of public speaking. Even today, I'd feel comfortable sitting back there. Well, probably not sitting back in the corner, but you understand. Sitting down, listening to someone instead of this. But anyway, he was talking about these people, and they were probably charismatic, right? I mean, they were probably just very good speakers. They were probably nice and smooth. Amen. When I drink coffee, I like a smooth coffee. I don't know if you don't know what that means, then you're not a coffee drinker. Yeah, but I like a nice smooth coffee. I don't like that bitter coffee. I like nice and smooth coffee. But I'm sure these guys, they were smooth speakers. Sometimes when you preach, you know, you'll find in yourself, you may say a word and repeat it over and over again or something that you, they were just probably perfect in the world's eyes. And they came in and they bewitched the people that were listening. And I'm sure they had arguments of why what they were saying about adding to the gospel or going under the law. I'm sure they had good arguments. I'm sure they had good examples that they were giving of why these believers should go under the law. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter if someone's very charismatic. It doesn't matter if they're the best public speaker. It doesn't matter if they have good illustrations. It doesn't matter what they have no right to change what this book says. And what Paul said is, hey, you're foolish. Who has bewitched you or tricked you to deceived you to think that it's okay? Why were you listening to these false teachers? And that's what he was saying. He was going in and trying to explain to them, get to the meat of it, and saying, do you understand what they did to you? They moved you from the Word of God, the gospel that's giving, to believing something that's not the Word of God. He said they tricked you, they deceived you. These people here were wrong. Do you know the devil? It's interesting. You know, a lot of times people think of the devil. You ever watch a cartoon? Some of you may still watch cartoons today, I don't know. But you ever watch cartoons? And I think it was, who was it? Bugs Bunny? Or was it Elmer Fudd? Yeah, maybe. Coyote or whatever it was, sometimes, or Tom and Jerry, I don't know which one it was, I can't remember now, I'm getting old and forgetful, but they would have a little one that would come on its shoulder and they would be like an angel, and they would have one that looked like the devil, and a lot of times when they display the devil, he would be red. And he would have a tail, and he would have horns that are there, and he has that pitchfork that's there, right? And, you know, even today in this world, that's probably how people view the devil, and they think he's red and has horns, has this tail that's there and a pitchfork that's there. Can I tell you? Wrong, wrong, wrong. Folks, can I tell you? Look what the Bible says over here to 2 Corinthians. He was a fallen angel. Look over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look what the Bible tells us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Start here at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. You know those people that came into these churches there, they were deceitful workers. Look at this. transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, they gave an appearance that they were believers. They would look like believers, right? So if I could use the illustration, let's say that we're, this church was back in those days, and he's talking about this. So you think about it, you'll see me wearing a suit, right? And I wear a suit because I come in because I want to preach God's word, and I want to represent, right, the message that I preach. I always just wear a suit. So if you think about if one of these deceitful workers could have come in wearing a suit, right, if we're talking about this day and age that we're in, coming in wearing a suit, and he may even have a tie on, maybe similar to this. It says, I believe in Jesus. But in his tie, he would have something different. He would say, I believe in Jesus and works, right? So if you think about that, you know, they came in. Here it is. He's talking about this, right? He says, no marvel, for Satan himself, look at this, is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great things if his ministers also be transformed, look at this, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Can I tell you, there are people today that could be wearing a suit that's preaching from the Bible, that's talking about Jesus Christ, and they are not a minister of righteousness, but they are a worker of the devil. Let me get you to really think about this for a second. Do you think those churches of Galatia that got saved, they were worshiping the Lord, would allow someone to come into their church if they thought he was the devil or of the devil? No way, right? They'd have been like, you ain't getting up there, right? Deceitful workers. They pretended like, they gave the appearance that they were believers, but they weren't. Folks, can I tell you, don't be surprised when you have someone that gives the appearance of a Christian and they're not. That was the warning that Paul was given here. It's the warning through the scripture. He's not talking about, do you think about these Muslims, right? Muslims aren't serving Jesus Christ, they're serving the devil, right? And they'll even tell you that. They serve their false god, Allah. He's not talking about these people, right? Because we know Muslims, their false god is the devil. He's talking about those that are claimed to be Christian churches, ministers of lie, right? Deceitful workers. Just because someone has Christian outside their church does not mean that they're Christian. Yeah, being judgmental. Yes, I am, but it's a righteous judgment, right? Get over that stuff, amen? Can I tell you, when people do that, that is of the devil, amen? Try to get people, because he doesn't want people to know this book, right? Recently, Ariana and I ran into someone that was saying, well, I'm not against any religion. You don't have to go to the whole story, but it was something like that, right? I'm not against any religions that's there, right? And ironically, about 2 minutes later, he said he was against religion. So it was quite funny, some of the things. Just listening to his voice, his own words will condemn him. But anyway, but I want you to think about what he's saying here. These people are saying that they're believers. They're saying that they're Christian, but they're not. You go back to the book of Galatians, and what you see in chapter 3, you have to realize, these weren't people that came in that said they were Muslim and whatever, Buddha or whatever. They came in and say, no, we are the servants of Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us here, they weren't, right? They were deceitful, right? They beseeched them. So always realize that. When you get something, make sure it is truly of God and and not of the devil. But look, as we go forward in verse 2 through 5, now he's got the attention of the believers that are there, and he says, hey, you guys are foolish, you were tricked or bewitched. And look what he says here, 2 through 5. This only would I have learned of you. So Paul is asking some simple questions, but he wants them to think about what he's asking them, right? So he's saying, hey, teach me, tell me, right? He knows the answer. He knows they know the answer, but he wants them to think about this. This only what I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit, capital S, speaks of the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Hey, here it is. He's telling them, hey, I want you to be honest. Answer these simple questions I'm going to ask you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit because of works? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit by faith? Now, we talked about this in Sunday school, so I won't go all through it. But we know in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and dwell on the believers and leave. We know in the book of Acts, which is a transition book, there was different ways they may have received the Holy Spirit. But we also know now we're in this church age that we're in, even in the book of Acts, you'll see this at the end. We receive the Holy Spirit when you believe, right? So keep your finger there. Go to the next book to the right, which is Ephesians. We'll be coming back to Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1. So he asked a simple question to them. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you earn Him? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, if you look at verse 13, Ephesians 1 verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. You want to see how when someone gets saved, it's here, right? They believed, they trusted in Jesus Christ after they heard the word of God, right? God's word was given to them. If God's word is not given, how can someone believe, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? He says, the gospel of your salvation. So he's saying here to these believers here, you trusted in Christ after you heard the word of God. You heard the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whom also after that ye believed. So they believed, right? They accepted Jesus as their Savior. What happened? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit enters in. So the day that you got saved, the day that I got saved back in January of 2002, so that's been, 23 years plus that I've been saved, that day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit entered in. Now, I didn't see the Holy Spirit come down from heaven, right? I didn't hear the Holy Spirit come down, but by that belief, He entered in. And I know it because there's evidence in my life, right? You start doing things you shouldn't, the Holy Spirit gets in and says, whoa, what are you doing, right? So there's evidence. But what was it? They received when they believed. It was by faith. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory, right? So that's kind of talking about this, that it's kind of like a down payment, right? It's a guarantee that you're going to heaven. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and that means you're born again, it's a guarantee that you're going to heaven. You can't lose it, right? That's what he's saying. You're sealed until the day of redemption. No one can take out the Holy Spirit from you, right? Praise the Lord for that. But how is it that we received Him? By faith. So you go back here to Galatians chapter 3, when he says that simple question to them, the reality is this, he already knew the answer, they already knew the answer. They knew how they got saved. They got saved when they heard the gospel message. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that they held the Holy Spirit in. And now he's saying, hey, can I teach me now? How did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by working for it through the law? He already knew the answer. And the reality is, they already knew. It goes on and says, verse 3, are ye so foolish? having begun in the Spirit, and just in case there were those that were confused on the matter, God wanted to make sure they got it settled. Amen. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, right? What does that mean? That by faith, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Here it is. He says that you got saved, you accepted Christ, you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit that's come in. And now do you believe that you have to keep your salvation? Do you believe that you can lose it? Do you believe that you have to be perfect to go to heaven? I mean, that's just dumb. He says, foolish, right? That is just foolish. I have run into people, and it's crazy to me when I run into people and they believe that, amen, that you can lose your salvation. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that every single person that claims to be a Christian is a Christian. I'm not. Take a step back. What did I say? There are people that are claims to be a Christians that are preachers that are not, right? A true born-again believer has evidence of salvation. You're going to have evidence. You're going to have proof. If you have no proof, that means you're not his. Amen? But here it is. He's telling them, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Do you really think? They tricked you to think that you have to keep the law? He's trying to explain to them their foolishness of believing this, right? Their foolishness of believing this. But you have to think, they started out on the right path, but it was someone who tricked them to believe something different. Can I tell you, God has given us His Word. And since God has given us His Word, God wants you to read it. God wants you to know what's in it. God wants you to go to a sound, Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God, that you can grow in the Lord. Do you know, when you get away from church, a sound church, in the book of Ephesians, I won't go to it, but you know what's going to happen is it's going to prevent you from being grounded like you should be. You're not going to be grounded. Matter of fact, what was he saying? They were tossed to and fro, believing all kinds of things, right? So getting out of church can prevent you from being grounded and growing in the Lord like you should. But at the other thing, so people that's out of church, it doesn't surprise me sometimes when people believe some crazy stuff, or they start believing some crazy stuff. Why? Because they're not grounded. They need to be in church. But also, when you're listening to someone or allowing someone to influence you that's not sound, it's going to hurt you. Again, we look at this church back in the Bible and think, how could they get to that place? Because, John, it took time. Right? It took time. It took someone teaching them and giving them a little pieces of things, and they think, oh, maybe that is right. Don't ever get to the place and you'll say, no, we all can be led astray, right? We all can get to the place, if we get out of church and start listening to some crazy stuff, that we can go down a path that they were going down. Again, he's talking about those that were believers, right? And he does say here in verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain, right? He was saying that those that are saved, and he said, but maybe there's those that are lost, right? And maybe that's why they're believing that. But here it is, he's saying, have you suffered? Have you been persecuted? These things went through? Why are you doing these things, right? So what was he doing? He was trying to get their attention. Look what he says. He therefore that minister to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. He's speaking of himself, right? He's thinking about the apostles that were there. He says, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Am I preaching to you in the things that you saw when I was there that God... Again, there was a transition period. They had the gift of healing that was here. The miracles that you saw, do you think I'm doing that by works? Do you think the preaching I have that's here is by works? He's like, no, it's not. Folks, can I tell you, what was he trying to do? He was trying to get their attention. Folks, can I tell you, have you seen those commercials about dogs? I'm sure they're out there. Did you ever see that commercial about the dog? I can't remember which one it was. And here it is, I think it was a lady that's sitting in a chair. And as she sits on the chair, this dog comes and puts his head like on her lap. Now, if you're a dog owner, you may understand that, right? You're not a dog owner. Well, that wasn't market for you. My dog knows time. It does. My dog knows when she should eat. And my dog knows when she knows breakfast and she knows supper time. When Ariana was in school, I don't know if she still does it, but... she actually knows when it was treat time. It was like
snack time,
right? My dog, I think it was yesterday, I was sitting down. Next thing you know, she came over and she would put her head right on my lap. Now, she didn't have to say any words, you know, nonverbal communication. But I knew exactly what she meant, Rachel. Hey, buddy, you didn't feed me, you know? And that's what it is. She trained me, right? So anyway, she puts it there. And sometimes, if she doesn't get her attention, she'll get down on her little bed. Yes, she trained us. She's spoiled. She'll get down there and whine. And then if I don't listen, she goes over to Debbie. And then she'll look at Debbie like, he's not getting up. He's being lazy. Don't you know my belly's empty? And if Debbie's doing something, then she'll go over and look at Ariana. Right? Well, the reality is, you think, I had a point that was there. The truth is, you know, she was trying to train us. There was a point. What was my point I had with that? It was not talking about dogs, but there's a point. Lord, there was a point there. I know there was a point. I wasn't trying to ramble on about my dog, but what's that?
They took your head out of your lap.
Yeah, I know about that, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, my dog, training me, is influencing me or trying to influence me to feed her, right? She's communicating to me and say, hey, I need, you think about these people, what was it? They influenced them through their teaching, the things that they had there. What was it? To get them to the place where they no longer believed just in faith alone, but they were starting to add to works. And look what Paul says down here in verse 6 through 9. He says, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He's going back to Abraham. Now, you think about the Jewish people, they go back to Abraham. And he says, I want you to go back to Abraham. And think about Abraham. Those that came in, these false teachers, and saying that you have to keep the law and do these things. He says, let's go back to the first Abraham. And you go back to Abraham. What did Abraham do? Nothing to be saved. But he believed. He didn't work for it. He believed. Now, why is it that these false teachers are coming in and telling you, you got to work for it, that Abraham himself did not work for it? But he believed. Know you therefore that they which are of faith are of the same of the children of Abraham. If you are saved, the reality is you're just like Abraham from this standpoint. You're born again. And if you're not saved, then what he's saying is, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. He goes on and says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify, just as if, right, they have never sinned, but forgives them, the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. What was he doing? He's getting these people to think, go back to Abraham. And what did God tell Abraham? Abraham believed and he was a child of God. And God promised that through his seed that the Messiah would come and all nations, not just the Jewish people, But all nations, that means Gentiles, could be blessed. And then he's saying this, why go back or hold something that can't save you? For it's by faith. Look what the Bible says over here to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. He's trying to explain to them that it's faith. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 4. See, these false teachers are trying to get them back under the law. You got to keep your salvation. You're going to lose your salvation. And Paul reminded them and says, look back to Abraham. Abraham himself, he didn't do these things. Now, I know law was given later. But the reality is he was saved. When was he saved? By when he believed by faith. You know what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 4? And Romans chapter 4 is a good chapter you can go through and read that talks about justification by faith. But look what it says here, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found? What did Abraham found? What was it? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. What is he saying? If Abraham was saved by works, the glory would come back to Abraham. Hey, let me tell you, folks, I am saved here today by my works. How great I am. You know what that means? I'm pointing to myself. Yeah. Pointing to myself. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. He said Abraham did not look in. Abraham believed what God told him, right? For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith. I don't care what anyone says. It's always been by faith. That's what God's saying. Amen? Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckon of grace, but of debt. That verse 4 is talking about those that believe you have to work for your salvation. Those that believe you have to keep your salvation. Those that say you can, you know, you lose your salvation. The reality is what they're teaching you, even though they won't say it, is they are teaching a work-based salvation. And what did he say here, verse 4? Not now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I'm working for it. I'm fascinated with the people that you run into that say that they can earn their salvation or keep their salvation. Because you know a lot of times what they'll say, Jenny, they believe in grace. They'll tell you that. I have run into Catholics, Mark, and they'll tell me that. We are saved by grace. I've run into them. They have told me that. And I was like, saved by grace? Yes. Faith is what's getting us to heaven. No, I know they're Catholic. They're not trusting in grace. I know they're not trusting in faith, right? I know they're trusting in works. And I keep on talking to them to try to get them. Because they may use terminology that we are in agreement with. But when you get down to what they truly believe, it's not grace, but it's a debt. Did you ever run into someone who would say, when they die, they're going to go to purgatory, right? They're going to go to purgatory, and they want someone to pray them out. You know what that is? It's works. That's a false gospel, right? And then you try to tell them, there's no purgatory in the Bible. You won't find it in the Bible, right? And they try to justify and say things that are there. There's no purgatory. What is that? That is false teachers who came in and got people that was saying, hey, this is what you have to believe. It's a debt of works. You got to work for it. Folks, can I tell you, anyone that adds to it, you know what it is? They don't believe in grace. It doesn't matter if they tell you that. It's not grace, but of debt. Well, keep on reading here. It says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Before you get saved, you have to realize what you are. You are ungodly. I am ungodly, right? You may say, I'm not that bad of a person. Yes, you are. You are wicked. Amen? And I'm wicked. You know, I am a wicked sinner when I look to a holy God. Amen? When I compare myself to a holy God, I am a wicked old sinner. Amen? I'm not trusting in my works. I'm trusting in a substitute, Jesus Christ. It says, even as David also described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth in righteousness without works. Hey, if you want to work for it, you know what that means? You'll spend eternity in a lake of fire working to try to earn your salvation, and you'll never get out because you're just going to keep on paying for it. It says here, you can be saved without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So what Paul was writing to these churches, what was he saying? Hey, who tricked you, to deceived you to think that you can now work for your salvation? He's like, that's foolish. Don't you understand that's works? That's not going to get you there. What was he trying to do? Get them back to what they truly believe. What they knew was true. Get them back to there. Amen? Folks, can I tell you, don't listen to anyone that's going to tell you salvation is anything different. Sometimes I have researched and found commentary, and sometimes I'll go through commentary and read commentary. And a lot of times in commentary, you'll get to, some people believe some kind of crazy stuff. Just crazy stuff, right? And I'm talking about the old timers that are out there that are passed away. And sometimes people refer to them. They believe crazy. Can I tell you, anyone that believes salvation, you have to add to it. I don't like that. Amen? Because if you're wrong with the most basic thing, how are you going to be right with anything else? Amen? People say, oh, you can glean so much from them. I remember I'm winding down here. I remember evangelist. He was a good preacher. I enjoyed him, and I was just a new Christian. And I was asked, and I said, you know, how do you, some of your messages, you get some points. It's interesting, and I asked him, I said, where do you get some of the information from? And his answer to me responded. No, it's not someone that I would bring into church or anything like that. And at the time, that person had said that, I'm sure the preacher did not know what he would say. But you know what he told me? He said, I like to go out and read the Church of Christ. He said, there's some good stuff there. Do you know Church of Christ believe in works? I was shocked when I heard that. You know, there's some good stuff here. They came in deceiving them, pretending like they were something they were not. Folks, can I tell you, it's a warning to us. We need to make sure we stay in this book. Amen? Don't leave from this book. You know what you believe. Don't let anyone change you. You know salvation is by faith in Christ alone. And I don't care who they are. Don't allow them to change. That was his warning to the church. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. Lord, I believe the people that are here know that. And Lord, I pray that maybe it'll just be encouragement to them. Maybe they'll be confronted by someone in the near future that they could say, nope, I know what the Bible says. And Lord, it will help them to be stronger in their faith. Lord, I give you this time of invitation. Pray that I will be done. We ask it in Jesus' precious name.